Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Kuf Zayin, and we're holding the middle of the Umbed Aleph at the new Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Hare olai yayin lo yifchois mishloi shalugin, shemen lo yifchois miloik. A person can go and be menader, a korban of nesachim, of yayin alone. We're, of course, familiar with Minchas Nesachim, which is a choiva which has to be brought as an adjunct to a number of kabanos, such as your oila and shlomim. But if you want to, you can menadev yayin on its own without the mincha, just the yayin. And similarly, our Mishnah says you can even menader shemen without the mincha and without the yayin. This in itself is a chidush, because as you recall, we had a machloikis about this. Where did we have this machloikis? Back on, Kuf Dalid Umud Beis. We had in the Mishnah at the top of the Umud, the final Mishnah in the previous Perek, Misnadvin Yayin V'ein Misnadvin Shemen Divir Reb Akiva. Reb Tarfon Oimer Misnadvin Shemen. Also, there was a big machloikis whether you can go and bring a korban of Shemen alone. What was the basis of the machlokes? The Mishnah said very simply, because even when you bring your minchas nesachim, the yayin is on its own, it's bifnei atzmoi. The shemen, however, is always mixed together with the mincha, with the flour. So there's never a situation of bringing a shemen on its own as part of the minchas nesachim. And that's why Rabbi Kiva says the Torah was only megalit, you can go and bring yayin on its own, but not the shemen. Reb Tarfon respectfully disagrees. What's the basis of the machloikis? As we'll see in the Gemara, it's based on psukim. So our Mishnah that takes for granted that you can be menadev not only yayin but also shemen is squarely like Reb Tarfon that says misnadvin shemen. Okay, so what is the chiddush then of our Mishnah? The chiddush of our Mishnah is to come tell us what the minimum shiurim are. Sahari la yayin, la yifchois mishloi shalugin. The minimum that you have to bring is shloi shalugin. And we'll see in the Gemara, the reason is because the din of bringing yayin, binadova, is a derivative of bringing the minchas, the sochem, the yayin, the choiva. And the minimum amount of yayin that you bring as part of the minchas, the sochem, is shloi shalugin. Why is that? Because chatzi ahin yel apar, shlishi sahin la'ayu, or revia sahin la keves yoyin, yayin. What's revia sahin? Ahin, as we know, is 12 lugin. So by a par it would be 6, by an ayu it would be 4, and by a keves is 3. That's the minimum. So just like by the minimum that we find by the minchas nesachim, that is 3 lugin of yayin, here too, when you want to just bring nesachim without the minchas nesachim, just in nesachim alone, holds a minimum of 3 lugin. What about shemen? Shemen leyivchois miloik, Rabbi Oimer shloi shalugin. So Rabbi holds the same thing applies. Shemen, yayin, and shemen are exactly the same, shloi shalugin. And Rabbi is very, very simple. Why is Rabbi simple? Because he says that the same limud that we have, legabi the yayin, lechoyda, the same limud as legabi the shemen. What the limudim are, we'll have in the Gemara shortly. Why does the Tanna Kamma hold that shemen is enough a loik? Because in your typical mincha, the minimum of mincha is one isarin and one loik. So we already find a mokoim where shemen is one loik. So here too, you want to bring the shemen independently, you'll bring it based on one loik. But we'll see more about this in the Gemara in another moment. Finally, Pirashti, if the person says, last night before I fell asleep, I was so tired, but I took upon myself either to go and bring yayin or to bring shemen. But I don't remember how much I pledged, how much I took upon myself with this hari olai. Then he has to go and bring like the heaviest day of bringing either yayin or shemen in the Beis HaMikdash. What is that heaviest day? We had that already, you remember, 2 or 3 days ago. Shabbos, not Chol Moed, but Shabbos, Shabbos on first day of Yom Tov on Chag, like on Shabbos. Why does it have to be the first day? Because you have to have the 13th. Shabbos Musaf, correct, as well as you have to have the first day of Yom Tov, because then you have the 13th parosh. Right. By the time you get to Chol Moed, it's already either 12 or 11 here in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, very good. We're going to talk about that more at the bottom of the Omid. We started off a machloikis, the gabi, the din of yayin v'shemen. First of all, how do I know that there's a din of being menader or menader yayin? We had this gemara already a few days ago, but the gemara repeats it again. Tan Rabbanan, it says in the pasuk Ezrach. Where does it say Ezrach? In the parsha of Nisachim, which all of that is in parsha Shlach, after the psukim go through how much you have to bring for a paran, for an ayun, for a kevis, both legabi yayin and legabi shemen, etc. It says, "Kol Ezrach yase koches eile." Every resident, every citizen, should do es eile, like we just enumerated. Lahakrav isha reich nichoyach lasha. And Rashi points out, both here and earlier in Daf Kuf Dalet, this pasuk is totally ibarik. The whole pasuk seems to be unnecessary because we've already gone through all of the individual Nisachim, whether it's the Yahim, the Shemen, how much you have to bring for the Ayil, for the Kevitz, for the Par. So what is this called? Ezra Yasir Kochaseila. Ezra Malamishim Nisnadim Yahim. Comes to tell you, you don't only have to bring Yahim as part of the Minchas Nisachim that accompanies an Oilu Urshlamim, but rather you can go and bring Yahim on its own as separate Nisachim, just the Yahim. The Kaman, how much you have to bring? Shloi Shalugin. Since this is a derivative from the choiva, which the minimum is shloisha lugin, you want to be menadet, because the minimum has to be shloisha lugin. How do I know that if I want to, I can go and add as much as I want? I don't have to bring just 3 lugin, I can bring 100 lugin. Talmud Loim, it says in the pasuk yihia, vishtay to do yeh, it says, hakohol, chuka achas lechem, lager hagor, chukas oilum darisechem, kochem kager, Yiyah lifnei Hashem. So you have the extra word Yiyah. Yes.
I don't understand how just merely from the word Ezrach you elucidate that that means you could bring just an offering of wine.
You're right. The word Ezrach itself really doesn't talk about wine. It doesn't talk about Shemen.
It
just says a citizen. Well, what is he? You're right.
Yeah.
But there's a klal in the Gemara. Whenever we find an ibrik, a superfluous pasuk that seems to be there for no reason, if you were writing it in English or German or French or other languages, this might be a nice way of concluding the whole discussion with a nice summary. We just went through all of this. You want to remember it, so I'm telling you, kol Ezrach yaseh koch haseil, like we just said. But the Gemara typically says that these psukim come to tell us additional halachas. So it's not necessarily from the word Ezrach itself, it's that the whole pasuk is superfluous. It comes to tell you more things. What more? We already went through all the choivos, and now it's telling us the same thing applies to Enidah. So I might think you could be moist, that you might not be able to be moisiv, kamashul and rutzal hoisiv yoisiv, because it says yiyah. Yiyah means you can pack it on, and you can do additional. Because the pasuk could have said, chukasaylu darisechon kachem kagor lefnei Hashem. Why does it have to go and say kochem kager yiyah lefnei Hashem? See, add extra word yiyah to go and tell you can add on more havayos. This is one drasha. Back in the Kuf Dalet, Rashi said that another possible yiyah would be that we say chatzia hin yiyah lapar ushlisha sehin lo ayil revia sehin lakevis. We only said the word yiyah first. It could have said chatzia hin lapar shlisha sehin lo ayil revia sehin lakevis. What do you have the extra yiyah? Extra yiyah comes that you can add on to the three lugan as much as you want. Yochai Yivchais, I might think, oh, since the Torah is being so liberal, maybe just like you can add, maybe you can also subtract and only bring 2 lugan and 1 lugan. Tamaloy minok kocha, kol Ezrach yaseh, kocha seh. The kocha says exactly like this amount. You can do it because of the yi, you can do more, but because of kocha and yi together, you cannot do less.
Why do you need a pasuk to say Shimatzo Hostef Yosef? We just like we had, you know, someone says Harei Alai Yisronim, and then he brings some as Nader, some as Nedava. I mean, why can't you be Mosef? What's the Havamina that adding is somehow impermissible? I mean,
I hear you.
Are we adding multiples of 3? Are we adding one more? I mean, we had on Friday, on the Shabbos, some of these.
Ayin, the Kevis, and the 100%. So I would think that the reason is by the fact that, first of all, you have the Kol HaMoisev Goyrea. You can say, okay, but that doesn't apply to Esroinim.
Right.
By Esroinim, we know by the Korb Mincha, the Korb Mincha starts off with 1 and then goes up through the roof, so to speak.
Right.
It doesn't. The only reason why we go up to 60 is because of the Bila concept. Otherwise, you can even put 100 or 200 and 500. It's one man biyomer we have in the Mishnah that says that it has to be kiyom meruba, one less than the 61. That's why you have the maximum of 60. But here, since it's a derivative of the nesachim that apply b'choiva, what is the minimum? The keves is 3. What happens if you're bringing a korban oyla from a keves and you decide to go and bring 4 lugin, then that would be disqualified. It's got to be 3. And if you want to bring an ayil and bring 5 or 6 lugin, we would say, no, you got to go and bring 4. Same thing by the par, you got to go and bring 6. In every one of these cases, if you switched or changed, you would not be yoytzi your chiyuv. So I might think the same thing might apply to the nedava, which is just a derivative of the choyva. So he's telling you, no, by the choyva, you have to taka bring 3 for a keves. You can't bring 4 or 5 for a keves. But here, when you're doing a nedava, the sky is the limit. There is no restriction.
And are those additions required to be in lugin increments, or in, you can bring 3.5 lugin, 3.5?
It's a good question. Gemara doesn't address it.
Okay.
And we continue on Shemen leYivchais min haloik. Rabbi Oymishloish Lugan. This, of course, is a quote from the Mishnah. The question is, why by Shemen is there machloik? Is my kamithligi, and the Gemara is going to come up with 2 possible reasons. Amru Rabbanu Kamid Rapapa. Bidoin mino umino. Bidoin mino vaikim baasra kamithligi. This is a famous machloikis in approach, in Talmudic approach that we have throughout Shas. It doesn't come up every day of the week, but it comes up from time to time, that when you are learning limudim, do you take the limud as a package deal? Mino, the whole thing. You can't just go and cut and slice. You got to take everything. Or no, I only need what I need, and whatever I don't need, I'll take care of it myself. So the Gemara explains. Zok Gemara, Rabbanan Sari doin mino umina. Rabbanan being the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, they say, mino umina, means we get the whole package deal. So what means the whole package deal? Ma mincha misnadvim. How do I know that you can go and bring a korban shemen? So our Gemara at the moment does not learn it from the same Ezrach that we just had a moment ago, that extra pasuk in parashas Shlach, but rather we learn it from a korban mincha. Where do we set the korban mincha? Because by korban mincha it says, the nefesh ki sakriv, korban mincha laHashem, and the Gemara elsewhere, and the Gemara a little bit further down will also suggest the word korban is totally unnecessary. It could have said the nefesh ki sakriv mincha laHashem. Why did it say korban mincha? Oh, the extra word korban tells you that you can go and bring other types of korbanos which are not enumerated. What type of korban? You can bring a korban shemen on its own, because I learned it from a korban mincha. Nu oy bazoi. If that's the makar, ma mincha misnadan, Hashem nam misnadan, umina. So let's go on to the second mina, ma mincha b'loy. The minimum that you can go and bring of shemen together with a mincha is a loik shaman, that we know. Oh, it's av shemen b'loy. Since you're learning it from the parsha mincha, the korban mincha, and since by mincha, what's the din? You always have the minimum of a loik shaman. We had a machlokes yesterday, and in the past, what happens if you bring 60 esrainim? Do you bring 60 lugin, or you continue bringing only 1 loik? Right? We had Machlokes Rabban and Reb Lezer ben Yaakov on that din. Regardless, but the point is that the minimum is a loik, and since we're learning the whole din of Shemen from the Korban Mincha, and by Mincha is a loik, it too is a loik, it's Mino, a package deal. You want to learn din of Shemen, take along all the packages, and the packages include the loik. My Mincha will like, Avshem will like. I agree with you that the makor is from the korban mincha, asking the extra word korban, but after I know that you can bring shemen, then I say, mincha, grois shkoyach, thank you for the extra word korban, but now I can take over from here, I don't need any more advice or any more packages. I thank you, Kodesh Baruch Hu, you put in the word korban, now I know the makor of shemen. However, shemen is similar to the yayin, that both of them are necessary for a minchas nesachim. Ma nesachim, just like the yayin, the other liquid in the formula, so to speak. What is that? The yayin is shloisha lugin. Av shemen am shloisha lugin. So shemen will also be shloisha lugin. After all, we find in the Torah this minimum of shloisha lugin, legabi the keves, legabi the nesachim, when you bring a minchas nesachim. Fine. So therefore, I only take part of my limud from mincha. The other part, I say shkoyach, I know where to go from here. I learn it from other nezachim, just like Yayin is three, here's three, here's Matay Mana. So that's the Makor Machlekes. Omel Rapapa. Rapapa says, no, you don't have to learn it that way. Even Mincha Gomala Rebbe, if Rebbe is taka learning from Mincha from the extra word Korban, then everybody would agree, even Rebbe would agree, it's only one like and not multiple look and not three look. El Rebbe, says Rav Papa, does not learn it from the Korban Mincha, from the extra word Korban. He learns it Me'ezrach Gomerla, meaning he learns it to call Ezrach B'Yisrael. What was the lashon? Kol Ezrach Yaseh Kocha Eseila. He holds that Ho Ezrach is broad enough not only to go and cover the Yayin, but also to go and cover the Shemen. Maybe you're going to go and tell me, maybe I should only learn one lima, not both. Maybe Rav Papa doesn't really speak it out, but maybe he holds because it says Ho Ezrach, so I have an extra hay. Anyway, bottom line is he learns it's not from the Korban Mincha, but it's from the Ezrach. Oh, so once we're learning from Ezrach, that means from the parsha of Nisachim. So just like the Gemara said that Ezrach Malamich Misnadvin Yayin, the Kama Shloi Shalugin, because that's the minimum that we find by the Minchas Nisachim Choyva. So if he learns the din of Shemen Ultim Ezrach, it's exactly the same. So you could start the same Torah Abanan right after the Mishnah. Torah Abanan Ezrach Malamich Misnadvin Yayin and Shemen, the Kama in both cases Shloi Shalugin. So therefore, Rav Papa says he doesn't learn from Mincha whatsoever.
What's the connection? Well, how do we know that the amounts in the Chatzi Ahin, Revi Ahin, and Shlishi Ahin, that the amounts of Yayin Shemen match?
Because the Torah says so.
It just says explicitly. Okay.
Except as explicitly as possible. Okay. Not only that, Shemen is only Parshas Shlach. Yain is also in the parsha of the parshas Pinchas. We always lay it on Chodesh. Chatzia hin yelapor, shlishis hin la'ayil, or viyas hin la'kibes yoyin. Zo ois oylas Chodesh b'chodshoy l'chodshi hashano asir yizimach l'chatz l'shem. Al oylas atomen yehosav niskay. That's how you lay it always in parshas Pinchas on Rish Chodesh. So Yain, you have it twice, not only in parshas Shlach, but also in parshas Pinchas. But getting back to our Gemara now, so says the Gemara. El Rebbe mi Ezrach Gomala. So therefore, according to Rav Papa, the machloikis between the Tanakama and Rebbe is very simple. The Tanakama goes and learns the din of Shemen from the parsha of Korban, Korban Mincha. And just like by Mincha is the minimum of the light, Shemen is also light, says Rav Papa, but not Rebbe. Rebbe learned it from Ezrach, which in the parsha of Nisachim. By Nisachim, what's the minimum always of Nisachim? It's always three. So here, two is three. Very good. However, Rav Huna Bereid Rav Nosson is not happy with this pshat of Rav Papa. Only Rav Huna Bereid Rav Nosson Rav Papa. Omi Matzis Amris Achi. Is that the way you learn, Rebbe, that he learns it from Ezrach and not from Korban? But Tanya, we have a braisa. Korban, that's the posik of Nefesh Kisakrif, Korban Mincha. The word Korban is Ibrik. Malamech and Misnadvim Shemen. Oh, from this word Korban, you learn Shemen. Okay, well, so what's Kasha? But continue the Brisa. V'kama, how much do you bring? A minimum of Shloishis Lugin. Now, Frey Timur, Man Shamas Lida Om Shloishis Lugin. Who's the one that holds three Lugin? That's Rebbe of our Mishnah. Oh, so how does Rebbe learn, according to this Brisa, from the word carbon? I mean, theoretically, it could be another Mandiyev. It could be Reb Lezer, it could be Reb Shua, it could be Reb Shimon. But since I don't find anybody else that argues on this point, the assumption is, this is Rebbe talking that the minimum of Shemen Shloish is Lugin. And what's the Mokar? It's from Korban. Yeah, but if you're learning for Korban, it should go and be just one Loig, not three Loigin, because by a Mincha, the minimum amount of Loigin is one. So how does he learn three? Muzach Zayin, like the Gemara said before, the Rebbe Sover, Doin Mi Novi Uki Bi Asra. The Iker Lima to go and tell you that there's a Nidva Shemen, I learned from Korban Mincha. Yeah. But how many? Mincha Shkoyach, I'm done, doing Mino, I'm finished. Okay, but Asr and I return now to the Parsha of Nisachim. And just like the Parsha of Nisachim, always the minimum of both Yayin and Shemen is three. Here too it'll be three. So I see from that very clearly that not like Rav Papa that Rebbe learns from Ezra, but he learns a taka from Mincha. And the Machloikis is whether doing Mino, Mino, doing Mino, doing Mino, Asra. So man, Shabbos, the Omish, Lashon, Lugan, Rebbe, become Isil, let me carve it. Amalais, Rav Papa said, no. Tanya, Tanya, I can't go and I'm not going to argue with the Brisa if that's what it's in the Brisa, if that's what it says. So Rav Papa was not aware of this Brisa, and therefore Rav Papa says, without this price, I could have learned that the machloikis is where the limud comes from. Whether the limud is from the Karban Mincha or that comes from the Ezra. But if it says in the price that even Revi holds that we learn it from Mincha, then you're right. So the machloikis must be. Okay, very simple. Now the Mishnah finished up. You bring like the highest day of the year. What is that time? Huh? Like we already said when we learned the Mishnah. Like the first day of Sukkot that falls out on Shabbos, then you bring a huge amount of karbanos. Okay, but it doesn't tell us in the Gemara how much that is. In the earlier Mishnah that we had on Shabbos in Daf Kuf Daled, you remember the Mishnah told us on that day there's 61 esroinim. So therefore, when you're bringing in a dove, said the Tanakama, die to go up to 60, not to 61. And then Reb Shimon said, that's not the reason. The reason has to do with the Bila concept, Bila Markevis, Reb Zeira, yeah, they got some ice. But our Gemara, our Mishnah doesn't tell us what the amount is, and even Rashi is silent. So we're going to have to work this out on our own, Rabbi Sain. Oh. How many Lugin, in fact, did you bring beyond the Farishin, Shechag, Shecholiyos, Beshamas? So first we have to remember that because it's the first day of Yom Tov of Sukkot, the breakdown on the special Korban Musaf on first day of Sukkot is, you have 13 Parim, 2 Elim, and 14 Kvasim. Wow, holy cow. 13 Parim, then 2 Elim, and 14 Kvasim. Okay, so now we all have to try to figure out the arithmetic together. Let's start off with the 13 Parim. For every par, you have to go and bring how many lugin? Chatzia hin yila par is 6. How much is 6 times 13? 78. Very good. Remember, Shelley, where are you? 78. Now we go on to the elim. How much is the elim? We only have 2 elim. And every I we have to bring?
4.
So 2 times 4 is?
8.
So 8 plus 78 is? 86. Like 86th Street, remember? 86. Good. Put that aside for a moment. Now we have to get to the kvasim. The kvasim, we have 14 kvasim. Every kevis has
3.
So 3 times 14 adds up to?
42.
Multiple is 42, right? 3 times 14 is 42. Everybody agrees? 42. And we had before 86. How much is 86 together with 42? Is 128, right? Everybody agrees? 128? Bill, you're happy? Ariel, I know you like math a lot. 128. Okay. How much more do we have left? We have left 4 more kvasim. Why 4 more kvasim? Because every single day of the year you oil the stomach. Kevis in the morning, kevis in the afternoon. And then because it's Shabbos, you have another 2. You have another 2. So you have 4 altogether. Each one of them is how many lugin? 3. 3 times 4 is 12.
That's 140
now. That's 140 altogether. You have 128 and 12 is 140.
They're all those, right?
Well, that's in terms of the card.
Right.
But now we're talking about
the lugin. I'm saying... Because we also have musafs.
We spoke about the musafim. Those musafim. You mean the seer chatos?
Thank you.
The seer chatos does not have any minchas.
That's what I was thinking of. Thank you.
No problem. Everything. The only chatos that has a nesachim is a chatos mitzoyra as well as an asham mitzoyra. We had this mishnah earlier.
Yes.
So the only normal, regular kabbonis on a daily basis that you have are oilois and shlomim have nesach. In addition to that, you have the chattas mitzoyer and the asham mitzoyer, but no other chattas gets nesach. Anyway, so getting back to it, there are 140 altogether. So if a person says, Pirashti, I said last night I'm going to be menader yayin or shemen, but I don't remember how many lugan I took upon myself, then he has to give the maximum kiyoy meruba, which is 140 altogether.
Question.
Yes, Mandy.
The previous Mishnah with the gold and silver, maybe I should kabanti. Here he has an option. Say, I didn't mean so many.
Mm-hmm.
So here it's unlikely he had in mind 140.
Mm-hmm.
It's unlikely. Why does it not apply here as well?
I would think that the reason is because when it comes to gold, who is the average individual that goes and is manad of gold? A person, Baruch Shem, has big hasagas. So, okay, now my hasagas in gold and Chavai's Trump's hasagas in gold are much different, and Musk are also different. So each one has his own. However, when it comes to Nesachim, the average individual can afford to go and give 100% Nesachim. So we don't have to restrain and constrain and restrict himself the amount that he... Every normal individual, Derech Klal, can go... I mean, it may be a burden to go and give 140 bottles, 140 loigen of shemen or of yayin, but most people can afford that. So that's probably why we don't have to come on to Ad Shiyoyimu Loilakach Neskevati. But presumably, that halacha might apply here too. That if a person says, I'm an uni ve'ev yoyin chasiv shulam, I never would have dreamed in my wildest dreams 140. Ah, why is there five? Look at that. Maybe the same. Maybe that would also apply. It's not good. You have to look up the Rambam, Halacha Lemaaseh, and maybe the Mefarshim go into this as well. And now the next Mishnah continues on in the same vein, with the same type of halachas. Har Yolai Oyla. Person says, I hereby take upon myself to bring a carbon oyla. He didn't specify which carbon oyla. So you have a par, and you have a tzoin, and you have ezim. And even among the tzoin, you can bring either an ayil or a keves. So it says, our Mishnah, har Yolai Oyla Yavi Keves. Keves is considered to be the cheapest, if you will, among all of these. So you have to bring at least a keves. Rashi says, pochus shebo oyla. That's the least. Rabbi Zvon is, I am an oytoyra ben yoyna, because after all, you can bring an oyla so oif. Oh, since you can bring an oyla so oif, that's, of course, even cheaper. You bring a Torah ben yoyna. We're going to see in the Mishnah and the Gemara what's the basis of the machloikis. In fact, the Gemara is going to say, there really is no machloikis. Mar kid isle. Mitchell will see on the Amid base.
Since Rabbi Zari was fabulously wealthy.
Exactly. Can you imagine?
He's the one who's saying because you can go even less expensive.
Exactly.
Hashem Maman Shi Israel.
Yeah, very good. Pirashim in a Bokar. Now, even though the Mishnah doesn't say it, but this is a continuation of the Hari Olai Oyla. So he says, Pirashi, I said Hari Olai Oyla, but I didn't leave it totally blank. Hari Olai Oyla min a Bokar. Then Yedea ma Pirash, but I don't remember which Bokar. Yavi par the eagle. Then he has to bring both a par and an eagle. Why does he have to bring both a par and an eagle? Because he said min ha Bokar. Min a Bokar includes both a par, which is the older cows or oxen, and ego, which is the young calf. Why doesn't he go and say, maybe it's also referring to the female, the poro or the egla? That's how you know that this Gemara, when it says, the Mishnah, it says, Perash Min HaBakar, it's still a continuation of the oyla. Because if he just said, Hareini Min HaBakar, Eshlamim, you need to have a shayla, the gabi, the female form as well. We're going to see Mitchum more about this on the Amud base.
But if someone is a par, Yishlacham Asayim Mana, I mean a par.
Very good. So Gemara is going to say, in fact, this is totally in the Machloikis, which we already spoke about yesterday. If you go back to the end of the Mishnah, Kuv Zayin Amud Beis, I say go back because we looked at it yesterday, that if he said, Katan Behevi Godel Yatsa, Rebbe Oymer Lo Yatsa. So this is, Gemara is going to say, this goes according to Rebbe. We'll see Mitchum shortly. Continuing on the Mishnah, Min Ha bin Bahaima, he says, I hari olai oyla min Bahaima. So he didn't specify Baka. Oh, so any idea mapirash, I don't know which one I said. So then he's gonna have to bring from all three that the Torah refers to. Yavi par the eagle, like we just had. Then the Torah also refers to Tsoin and also refers to the Ezim. So therefore he's gonna have to bring an ayo together, skip two words, together with a tle. Tle is synonymous with the word kevis. So he brings the ayo, that's the older tsoin, and he brings the younger tsoin. Similarly, when it comes to goats, he'll bring a Seir Ezim, which is the older one, and he's going to bring the Gedi Ezim, which is the younger one. So the exactly parallel, par the Egel, the Gedgodel, and the Koton, same thing, Ayil Tle. I don't know why the Mishnah does it out of order. You should say Ayil and Tle, Seir and Gedi. Chbeis Mish maybe would fit in better with the Niggin that they would sing, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, but bottom line is, each time the older guy and the younger guy. Pirashti Veni Dema Pirashti. I don't even know what I said in terms of, I said oyla, but I don't know which of the oyla. And here he didn't say min habehema. He just said, ein yedea ma pirashi. Oh, now moisev aleihem, then he has to bring a toru ben yoina as well. In addition to all those six behemoths, since he didn't say, I said oyla, but I don't remember from what. Then toru ben yoina is also in the mix, now you have to bring eight. Har Yolai Toyda Ushlamim. Rashi says, not Toyda Ushlam, it's really Toyda Oishlamim. The person took upon himself either Toyda or Ishlamim, and he didn't specify which. So then the minimum is Yavi Keves, just like we had on the Omid Bey, I'm sorry, in the Omid Aleph, the Gabbati Oila, you bring the Keves. Pirashi, Minboker, Veni Dema, Pirashti. I said Minboker, but I don't know which one I said. Now, Yovi Parupara, Ego the Egla, since the Torah Dushlam can be brought Sai from a Zohar and Sai from an Akeva, so as opposed to the Oila, which can only be Zoharim, the Toida and the Shlam can also be from a Akeva, so instead of just being only Par and Egel, Par Upara, Egel the Egla. When Abdul Vi said, Mena Behaim of any Yudea Mapi Rashti, he said, Mena Behaim, I don't remember which Behaim. Oh, so now back on the Umber Aleph we had the 6, now it's going to be 12. In other words, all of the males that we brought, we're now going to bring the females as well. So Yovi Par Upara, Egel the Egla, Ayil Urachela, or Rachel, which is the feminine form of an Ayil of a ram, Soir Usaira, Gdi Ugidoya, Tle Utloya. So exactly the same list as before, we just doubled it. Sorry.
It's just so far-fetched that someone would bring like an entire menagerie in one offering session.
What you're saying is correct, but not that he said, I'm going to bring all of these. But yes, the person said, I made a neder, and I don't remember what my neder was. I pledged. What happens if a person pledged money for a shul? And he says, I know, I last night I made a specific dollar amount, I just don't remember what the dollar amount was. So you can't just say, okay, well, just give a dollar and you're yoitzer. If he said $100, and he's not yoitzer. If he said $1,000, so this would be like Mendy was saying before, what the person's hasagis. Would a person ever in his wildest dreams, if he only happens to be a person that quite makes $10,000 a year, would if he had pledged $50,000 for the shul? Highly unlikely. If a person is a millionaire, he makes every month, he gets a check of twice $100,000, then it's more likely that he said $5,000. Anyway, this individual, he should have specified which behema he was referring to, but he says, I don't remember. So to be able to fulfill any possible variation in his neder, he's got to bring every single one. When Amzavi said, Hari Elisha. Now from here, over the next few cases, it seems to be quite arbitrary, and we'll look at the Rashi in a moment where these numbers come from. Harei Olai Shor, I took upon myself to bring a Shor. What did he take it upon himself to bring? An Oila, Shlom, whatever. Yavi Hu Unesacha Bimana. He has to go and bring now a Shor together with its Nesachim. He's talking about Oila, Shlom, it has its Nesachim. And the value of the two together has to equal a Mana. A Mana is the same as 100 dinrim or 25 sloim or shkolim, a rather hefty amount. The question is, where does the Mishnah take this from? So if you look at the Rashi, third and fourth line, Yavihu Nesachav Imay B'mana, Kach Nesparish Dinay B'toydish Ba'al Peh. A very interesting expression that Rashi is using. The Mefarshim say what Rashi means to say, it's Halacha L'moishim Misinai, because it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah this figure of mana. And it's not only by the Shor, the Mishnah continues on. If the person says, Harei Olai Egel, Yavihu Nesachav, a package of Chomesh. How much is Chomesh? Chomesh Sloim. So this is not a difference between 100 and 5. This is really the difference between 25 and 5. 25 and 5. Because the mana has in it 25 shkolim or sloim, and the chomish that we're talking about is chomish sloim, so therefore a shor is 5 times as much. Once again, where do we take this from? It's all toyrish shabal peh, according to Rashi, it's halacha l'maish misina. And similarly, if a person says, I take upon myself to bring an ayil, yavihu nesacha bishtayim, we have to go and bring two. Now this, by the way, we have a makor in the Torah, because the Torah says at the end of Parshas Vayikra, Legabe either Hashem Eilos, Hashem Gezelis, it says you have to bring an ayil, and it says that b'shtei shkol. While a keves is considered to be a half, and therefore it says the Mishnah, keves yoyu in esachav, the seller. Just one, you don't have to pay two, it's only one. Rashi brings this in Chumash
as well.
In addition
to the animal, you bring the cash? Or
no, no, this is the amount of cash that you have to spend to go and bring the animal. In other words, you want to go and get a shor, can you get a scrawny shor, which is only cost 50, or do you have to give up a shor?
Don't buy it on sale, don't be so Jewish.
If you have a sale, then it would become moiser in the sacha, moiser. But here we're talking about normal, regular prices. Here you have to sell. Now Rashi says that all of these are based on Azar Torah Shemal Peh, Halacha Moshe Sinai. The Rambam, however, in Pirush Mishnayos disagrees, and he said these were the median amounts. In other words, B'derech Klal, when you went to the shor store, how much did it typically cost? Your normal amount was money. You don't have to go and buy the AAA one, the Tesla Shore that costs you 50 mana. You don't have to go and buy the Volkswagen, the Kleinschige, those small little cars that they used to have, which only cost a half a mana. You have to go and buy a shore of a mana. That was the normal median amount for these types of animals. At least at the Rambam. But anyway, beginning back to our Mishnah, in each case, note that the Mishnah said it's hu unasachav. So it's not that the shor cost you the 100, the shor only cost you 95. In addition to that 5, you had to bring the minchas asachim, the flour, together with the shemen, together with the wine, all together. Lav dafke 5, this is 98 and this is 2. But the point is, the whole package together is a package of a mana, and the egla package is a 5. Etc., like we just said. Now, what happens if the person says, however, shor bimana, meaning he takes upon himself, harei olai, I'm going to bring a korban of a shor, which is worth a mana. Maybe he knew about this Mishnah, maybe he didn't, but that's what he said, I'm going to bring a shor bimana. Then yavi bimana, chutz min hasachav. Since he said that the shor is bimana, so then the accessories, the adjunct of the minchas hasachav, that is an additional amount that you have to pay besides the 100. Again, not that you're giving cash for these. We're talking about that you buy the shor. It has to be come to the besmigdish with your receipt. I said harilai shor b'mana. You see, I paid a mana for it. In addition to that, he has to bring his minchas hasachav, which might cost another 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever the addition. And the same thing is by each one. The Mishnah repeats itself again and again. Egel b'chomish. If he said I'm taking egel b'chomish, then yavi b'chomish chutz min hasachav. If he says, I'm going to bring ayil b'shtayim, yavi b'shtayim, chutz min hasachav. If he says, I'm going to bring a keves b'sela, yavi sela, chutz min hasachav. Okay, period. So all of those are very straightforward. Next case. He took upon himself to bring a shor b'mana. And instead of bringing one shor for a mana, v'hevi shnayim b'mana. He brought two separate shvarim. Each one only cost a half a mana. Two times the half is the whole. So he figured, okay, I'm mekayim. I said shor b'mana, I brought two. Not only that, what happens if you brought each one was 99 dinner instead of 100 dinner, and I brought two, and two times 99 is 198, so that certainly should be good. Answer is no. Since he said sure, mana, this sure has to be worth taka a mana. What happens if he said, I'm going to go and bring a shor shocher, I'm going to bring a black shor, the heavy love, and he brought a white one. Or he said, I'm going to bring a white one, v'hevi shachar. Again, lo yotze, you have to go and be mekayim your native. Now, the cases now which are going to be very material to the discussion that we're going to have shortly in the Gemara. Godol v'hevi cotton, he says, I'm going to bring a shor godol, and instead he brought the cotton like an egel, lo yotze. Well, then that's, of course, very simple. Here he promised to pay a big behind him, and he only brought a small one, you're not yotze. But what about cotton v'hevi godol? He promised to go and bring an egel, lemoshel, and instead of bringing an egel, he brought a shor. Says the Tanakama, yotze. Of course he's yotze, because yesh b'chlal, mesayim mana. And therefore, yesh b'chlal, shor godol, the shor cotton, and the chzabadi yotze. Yeah, that's what he said by the bris, right? Okay. Rabbi said, lo yotze, you're not yotze. Why are you not yotze? So we wrote this gemara already yesterday.
Are you sure?
Oh, very good. I'm sure, but when I'm not sure, chasam. But anyway, so Rabbi said lo yotze. The Gemara said the reason why lo yotze is because the aymurim of the godol are different than the aymurim of the cotton. The aymurim that you put on the mizbeach typically of a cotton chvais would be the size of a chvais pint. When you talk about a shor, 3 pints, a whole quart, a ganze.
You're not cutting on the size.
They're cutting on the size. Okay, yeah. Anyway, but that's a cotton here. If I figure out. Anyway, so that's a machloikim between the Kama and Rabbi. And the Gemara is going to say shortly that what we said back in the beginning of the Mishnah, Pirashi min abokar, the Eini Yodea ma Pirashti, it says Yovi par vi ego. So Barry asked, why do you have to go and bring par vi ego? Yesh b'chol masai mana, just bring a par. Even if the person said an egel, by bring a par, aren't you certainly yoitza?
It was an egel at some point.
Exactly. So Gemara is going to say that this is in fact Rebbe. The Rebbe says that, I'm very sorry, godel and cotton, you're not yoitza saying this. Godel say the cotton, you got to bring exactly what you said. So if the person says, pirash v'ni yadeh, I know I said menabok, I just don't know, then you have to bring both a par and an egel. But not according to the Tanakhama, because the Tanakhama says that even if Itaka said, egel b'feirish, if you bring a godel, you're always yotze. So therefore, regardless of whether he said par or we said egel, if you bring your par is enough. But Rabbi said, no, you got to bring both. And now you're going to make something about on par, right?
No. The egel is calf, the par.
It's calf, the half calf. Okay, very good. Shkoyach. On to the Gemara. Zut Gemara, we started off a machlokes at the beginning of the Mishnah. If the person says, Harei olai oila, Tanakama says you bring the minimum oila, which is your keves. Rabbi Zunazai says the minimum is a tor ur ben yoida. Sounds like a big machlokes. Well, I pligi. Marki asrei, umarki asrei. Each one according to his local community. Now, what does that mean, each one in his local community? So Rashi says, interestingly, Rashi, 6-7 lines on the top of the Yamid, the Asr de Tanakama, Guria keves me oif. The Asr Blues of Nazaria, Guria, Oif Mikaves, in terms of locally, what was the cheapest? The Mishnah is coming to tell you, once you say Hari Olai Oila, you can bring the cheapest that's available in the market. The cheapest among behemoths, of course, is the Keves. According to Blues of Nazaria, you can even bring a Tor or Ben Yoina. So now, this is not a fundamental machloikis in terms of different psukim, different limudim. Each one is saying, in my community, the cheapest is a keves, says the Tanakhama. Mm-hmm. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, in my community, the cheapest is a tor uben yoina.
How is a keves cheaper?
So the brother Darius.
It's cheapest. It's cheapest.
Cheapest.
Yeah, very good. But Barry's question is a very good question.
Yes.
Is that in fact possible? So it could be that Tor uben yoina was considered to be a delicacy, and there was a shortage, and therefore, you know, like the Havdal before Thanksgiving, you want to go and buy a toiki. Toiki usually is probably, I assume it's cheaper than roast beef, but everybody wants a toiki for Thanksgiving there, right? So it could be that there's a shortage in the marketplace and it's going to go sky high. Anyway, at least theoretically, that's the halacha. And the Mar is telling us that Rabbi Ben Yaakov says, by uns, the cheapest in the marketplace if you're buying anything fleishik was the Torah Ben Yoina. The Tanakhama says, I want you to know, in our town, the oif is more expensive, the keves is the one that is cheaper. That's how Rashi meant. But because of what you were just saying a moment ago, it's highly unlikely.
The Torah says if it's in a criminal of Yoreg, the most expensive is the Kisper's Yira, the keves, and then you get to the Torah Ben Yoina, and then you get to the Dali Dalas. So the Torah itself expresses it as the middle of the three levels of income.
What you're saying is correct.
Christ fell.
Well, very good. So the answer to your question is, you remember in Masechtas Nedarim we learned that when it comes to Nedarim, it's Koloshin B'nei Adam. And therefore it's not based on what the Torah says, what the amounts are, it's what the B'nei Adam are saying. And a normal Ben Adam, since the cheapest one in that particular community was a Keves, even though the Torah says that the Oifas go after the Keves, because normally Keves Kizbas Yira is more expensive. Maskin. However, since you're talking about by in Neder, it's Kaloshim and Adam, and the Kaloshim and Adam is, I had in mind the cheapest, in the Tanakhama's place where he lived, the cheapest was a Keves as opposed to an Oifas.
For example, recently the egg shortage, it was diseased
by 100%. So therefore the eggs went up. They were extraordinary.
That was excellent.
Excellent, yeah, I know. So
it was still cheaper than meat.
You're talking about eggs, but here the Mishnah is talking about oifis. Maybe oifis of Chas V'Shalom, there was this bird.
The Torah Ben Yoina, tiny birds, there's not much meat on them as it is anyway.
So how many Torah Ben Yoina do you think was sold in the marketplace? Presumably very few. People want that. A chicken, a turkey, a dog. Torah Ben Yoina, so there probably wasn't a major market for that, so maybe it was a shortage. Or the Yod Nish, but that's what Rashi says. Other Meforshim, because of these concerns, Taka disagree with Rashi, and they say another Pshat, the Rambam, among others, the Iri of, what's the Machlokes? Machlokes is when a person says, Harei Olai Oila and Loi Pirashti, what does an Oila include? The Tanakhama says, normally an Oila means Behemoth. You don't normally refer to an oif as oilestan. If you want to bring an oif, you would say, I'm going to bring an oilasu oif. So therefore, if he said oilestan, loy pirashi, then he brings a keves. So the Blues Manasariya, no, that the word oile is broad enough, it's a broad enough umbrella to include also oifis. And in Unzra Platz, says the Gemara, in the Mokum where Blues Manasariya lived, when a person says oile, he included in his mindset Oif, because oila was considered there to be part of, and regular oila included not only the behemoths but also the oif. However, the Tanakhama says, by uns, if you wanted to bring an oila oif, you would say it expressly, I'm bringing oila oif. If he said an oila, that means by definition we're talking about behemoths. Okay, so two pshatim in the Gemara, Markiyas and Markiyas. Like the Tanakhama, how do you like oila b'sela l'mizbeach? The person says, I'm going to go and bring an oila b'sela for the mizbeach. Yavi keves, you should go and bring a keves. Ein lecha dover shekor b'sela l'gam mizbeach, ela keves. The more bring shekor b'sela, but you can take that out because we already said, Ein lecha dover shekor b'sela l'gam mizbeach, ela keves. Pirashi ben yedema pirashi, he says, I took upon myself, Hari Alai, a neder, to go and bring for the mizbeach something which costs a sela. Then you have to go and find out what can you go and buy for a sela for the mizbeach. Meaning, since he didn't go and say haray oila b'sela, therefore it can go and include not only a keves for an oila, since he just said I'm bringing koldover shekar b'sela, anything which costs a sela. So if you have a mincha of one isar and five isar and costs a sela, buy that and bring it for the mizbeach. Presumably the same thing would apply even to nesachim, that if I have five lugin of shemen or of yayin at course of sela, you got to bring for the mizbeach. A person would say harilai levoina, you can go and buy a sela levoina. Of course a levoina only need a kmitza, koimitz, machloikis koimitz of the baalim or of the koyim. But what happens, presumably levoina costs less than a sela. But if he says kol davar shekar b'sela, then bring levoina worth a sela. And then you have to go and bring a whole bunch of things, not just the keves. Because of the fact that he said, Parashti, I said sela, I remember I'm going to bring something for a sela. I don't remember what I'm going to bring for a sela. No, then he has to go and bring a keves and other things which sell for a sela for kabbas. Pirashti min abak v'nideh ma pirashti, you'll be par v'egel. Freiti mora, amai, why do you have to bring a par v'egel? V'leisi par amanav shach. Why don't you go and say a par? If he said par is a chud, and if he said egel, yesh b'chal masai mona, within every par you have an egel. Right. Barry says that every par originally was an egel. Can you imagine that? Before the par became on par, it was an egel. Good. Anyway, so bottom line is, why don't you say just bring a par? That's the last halacha in the Mishnah that we just pointed out a moment ago. That if you said cotton, I'm going to bring an egel. Maybe God only brought a par. Loyotza. So that's why if he doesn't know Mapi Rashti, he's got to bring both a par and an egg. Frank Timur, you Rebbe? Ema Seifa, if that's the case, let's continue into the Mishnah. And now the Gemara quotes the Mishnah word for word. Shor b'mana v'hevishnayim b'mana loyotza. V'afil ezeh b'mana chaser dinner v'zeh b'mana chaser dinner. Or a shocha v'hevi lovin. Or a lovin v'hevi shocha. Or a godl v'hevi cotton. Loyotza. Now the key. Cotton, the heavy gadol yotza, Rabbi Omer lo yotza. Frank Digmara, according to what you're telling me, that the beginning of the Mishnah is Rabbi, in the middle we have all of these lines, and ultimately we come to cotton, the heavy gadol is yotza. Obviously, that's the Rabbanim that disagree with Rabbi, and now we have Rabbi again, Rabbi Omer lo yotza. Frank Digmara, Reish v'sefer Rabbi b'tziyasa Rabbanim. Would that make sense? That smack in the middle between the two Rebbe's we have the Rabbana, wouldn't you want to have Rebbe together with the Rebbe in the Reish or the Sefer? The Gemara, and yo, Reish of the Sefer, Rebbe, it's Yasser Rabbana. V'hochi k'omar, and therefore what the Mishnah is telling us is, by the way, when we started off and said, that if a person says, Pirashti, v'ni yedeh ma Pirashti, he has to go and bring a par v'egel, you know who said that? It's not a leave of the Kuli Alma, that was a machlekes Rebbe v'Rabbana. It's a machlech Rabbi Rabbanan, because according to Rabbanan, if he said cotton, the heavy cotton is yotza. So if he said pirashtim in a buck of any yedea, just bring a par. However, according to Rabbi, since if he said egel, he has to bring an egel. He's not yotza with the par, but maybe he said par. So you have to bring both par of the egel. So therefore, the Mishnah is just concluding. Remember what we said at the outset, that if you said pirashtim in a buck of any yedea, you have to bring a par of the egel. Dos is Rabbi. Because there's in fact a machlokes between Rabbanan and Rabbi, Rabbanan disagrees. Okay. Tanan Hassam. Now we're going to go a little bit off on a tangent, and we're going to talk about the pushkis, or the shofarois that they had in the Beis HaMikdash. We've already spoken about this a couple of times, even recently, but in Masechta Shkolim, there's a lot of discussion about How many pushkas were these pushkas
seven,
before?
Seven and six.
13 altogether. Very good. Zokti Mar, Tanan Asim. Shishal Nedavah. Six of them were for Nedavah. Kenegin me. Kenegin wolf. What's up? Six? Why didn't they do three? Five? 12? What's up? Tafka six. Amr Cheske. Kenegin shisha boti ovis hakehanim. Shetoknu hem chachamim. Sheisholim ze imze. What is this all about? So Rashi explains very simply that any time a person brought a carbon oila, what happened to the oir? The oir would go to the
kohen. Kohen, right.
Kohen, very good. What happens if you have a day where, Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of private individuals that bring oilas, they brought 5 oilas, 20 oilas, 50 oilas, then the kohanim, of course, are enriched. Overjoyed. They're enriched. They'll all have these oilas that they can split up and make some money. They'll make from that, or they'll make beautiful shoes, with the leather pocketbooks, and who knows, and then they got them, and whatever. Exactly. So now, that is a source of income. Now, what happens if on a Tuesday or Wednesday, unfortunately, it was raining and pouring, or snowing, or whatever, and a very, very small number of people, limited number of people, came to the Beis Hamikdash that day.
Mm-hmm.
And they only had one oiler, or two oilers, or maybe didn't have any oilers at all, except for the oilers, Tomash Yoshach and Tomash Yoshach and Tomash Yoshach and Menabayim. So then the Kahanim were quite upset.
Sure.
And not only the Kahanim were upset, the Beis Hamikdash and the Mizbeach is upset, because it looks very, very poor. Here we're bringing presents to the Heilige Beshefer, to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and nobody came today to go and bring kabbonis.
And the other way, the price was ola.
Oh, very good. Beautiful. So now the question is, what do you do on those off days? You go and take from the pushkis, oil lekayitza mizbeach, to go and fill up the mizbeach. Okay, so what happens if on Monday, Baruch Hashem, there were a lot of private individuals, it was not necessary to resort to any of those pushkis, to any of those shoifres. But Tuesday, unfortunately, was an off day because of the weather or whatever. So now they had to go and take money from those pushkis to go and buy these oilis, the kaitz and mizbech. So the Monday people are going to be upset with the Tuesday people. When we say people, we mean now the mishmar. As you know, there were 24 mishmaras, and every mishmar was broken up into 6 bate av. And the 7th, which is Shabbos, then everybody, all the kahanim, participated equally. And not only all the kahanim, but also the mishmar, a yoitz and mishmar, a nichnas. That's a separate story. Yeah, exactly. So now with the shisha bati avos, for the 6 bati avos, they took, for instance, let's assume, just to give an easy example, we had 60 kahanim that were called up for that mishmar. So you have 6 bati av. So each day of the 60, we're going to have 10 kahanim doing on Sunday, and 10 on Monday, and 10 on Tuesday, 10 on Wednesday. Ah, good. So now the Tuesday kahanim, since there were no or there were very few individuals that brought the carbon oilas, they went and took money from the pushkis and they used it to bring the carbon oil. And they took the oilas for themselves. Now the Monday kahanim go to the Tuesday kahanim and say, hey, you raided the treasury, so to speak, you took the money out of the pushka, there's nothing left, and you're not even sharing those oilas with us. And they don't have to share the oilas with us because each Beis Av took the spoils of the day, so to speak. Then the Tuesday people can say to the Monday people, but you didn't need it. You got the oiros from all of those individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Says Rashi that the Monday people will say, mazleinu goram. We had good to mazel that because we have schusim and because we're fine the Tayre Yidin, we're eniklech from Maharna Koyin. So in that schus, we were able to go and get
a lot. So the mazel was to get Tuesday.
But you had bad mazel, you chevra, and that's why nobody came on Tuesday, and that's why it's not. But you have no right to go and raid the treasury for yourselves. You should share it with us. I mean, after all, these are public funds. These are not funds which are just designated for you. Says, therefore, Tanan Hosam says, Cheskia, that's the reason why they split it off. Shisha bati avos, that the Sunday people would say, in other words, each one of these pushkas said on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so you'll never have a machlokes. The Monday people cannot have any tannis on the Tuesday people. You raided the Tuesday. This Tuesday pushka is for us. It's not for you. Your pushka is Monday. You didn't need to use it. The money will accumulate for the next mission or for next year.
Same way when it gets filled.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe people don't like Tuesday.
Rashi addresses that. Rashi says that when these Gizborim took money, they evened it out. They gave everybody the same amount. So if somebody donated $60 from the Moisrois or whatever, they put $10 in each one.
It's the same as if you're taking the Monday Pushka.
No.
Because you take from the Tuesday Pushka. right? And then you take from the general funds to fill it up.
You can only take from that day. The Beis Av only has.
No, but to equalize it, So you have six shofaros for the 6 weekdays,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And people come in and they decide, am I giving? And it's the individuals from the Mosros who are deciding where they're putting their coins.
No, they give it.
It goes into a general fund, and then they
allocate each one equally.
They give it to the treasurer, and the treasurer
disperses it and disseminates it and puts in the pushka each one equally.
Okay.
If he gets $120. $20 for each one. $180 if. Same Mukhai. Well, it's a very nice donation.
Yeah, but if the Tuesday was empty, he will not give $240 to Tuesday.
Nachum, I'm sorry?
The Tuesday is empty. He gives the same amount to each, or he fills everybody to the same level?
The income is always the same. You always give the same amount to each one.
The distribution.
In terms of now the allocation, the expense using it, according to Cheskia, each one of the Batiyav used only his. They can only take monies from the Sunday one and the Monday guys from the Monday one.
They exhausted, they're out of luck.
It would so appear. Again, Gemara doesn't go into this. Mention when we get to Shkolim, Yetzirah will hopefully deal with that in more detail. But in the meantime, says Cheskia, you divide up among the 6 Batiyav.
At the end of the year, you're going to have a problem also because there's 24, so there's 2 times to go around, and they'll just say, hey, we'll hop. You know, they don't care about the next guy because they're ready. It's running on empty, and they'll just take it, and then there'll be.
And the nearest Makam Mashiach, the base of
English. No, that's not the question. The shofaros are going to be depleted.
So presumably there's enough moisture going on throughout the year. Then you bring it from the moisture of the various kabbalists, and maybe in fact, if some pushes get empty, maybe the lishkas and gazas will fill it up. Gemara doesn't address that. All our Gemara addresses is why there's 6 pushkas called the other.
Yeah.
So there shouldn't be machloikis in between one group of kehanim from the Monday kehanim against the Tuesday against the Wednesday. It's very arbitrary. If that Sunday it snowed, see, then you take it from the pushka. If on Monday it did not snow, then you don't take anything from the pushka. And then presumably the next week will be the reverse. So this should be Sholem Bineh. That was the first reason. Now the Gemara is going to bring 3 more reasons today. And mentioned tomorrow we're going to have yet another 2 reasons for the subdivision of these 6 pushkas. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Mitosh HaNadova Merubah, Tiknulham Shoifes Merubim, Kedei Shloisap Shul HaMois. Baruch Hashem, people were very generous. A lot of Nadovas came in for Kabbanis, and if you would put them all in the same pushka, and they would be all one on top of the other without any aeration, without any air, then Yisap Shul, they'll all get moldy, and they'll get foiled, and get rotten, no good. So that's what you split
it's
up.
It's an interesting problem, because it's metal. It's not Yisap Shul we had by the Lechem Apanim.
Right.
Here it's metal.
Metal
doesn't get
oxidized. Well, it depends. Is it some turn copper wood?
No,
turn green.
Okay.
Uziri Omar, can I get par vi egel ayu bekeves gedi visoir? The reason why they had 6 pushkas is that if a person had moiser from a par or from an egel, right? The person set aside $500 to go and buy a par. He goes into the par store and they say there's a sale and there's only $400, so he gets the extra 100. So that he puts that into the par,
right?
The par pushka. Same thing in egel. Egel costs usually $200 and it only costs $150. Put $50 into the egel pushka, and so on and so forth. V'rebi the amakotnu v'hevi god lo yotze. That's why you didn't have 3 pushkas; you had 6 pushkas. Each one is very, very definitive. The amount that it gives specific. Ubar pado amar kineged haporim v'elim v'akvosim v'asirim v'hamoisores v'hammo'ov. What does that mean? All of these were talking about the moisturis, of Purim and Elim and Kvasim. Now, what was the moisture of a par? So it says Rashi on the Amud Beis, back in the Amud Beis, the par we're talking about a chattas tzibur she'ovdu. When do you ever have a par of a chattas tzibur? The par helim dover shel tzibur.
Right.
So the Sanhedrin or all the Shvatim, they went and they set aside this par. And machta pleita, the hefesh achem tachtein, and now we have a different one instead. The achach nimtzurishon, and then we found that old par. Now, normally I would think chomish chatois meisois, but apparently that doesn't apply to the chatas tzibur, only the chatas yachid. And if a nitkal raya, they went to say, okay, par, you go out there in the pasture, and eventually it's going to go and get a mum, and then we're going to go and sell it, we're going to take the money, we're going to
this
put the
so
money.
It's so improbable. Parhon Dovashot Sibur was improbable. That the par would be lost and then recovered, it's
so this pushka was probably empty most of the time. Yeah. If not all of the time. Now, I agree with you. No was left up. Anyway, the same thing applies to Elim, says Rashi. You set aside an ayah for a carbon asham, and ultimately it ran away, and then you went and selected a new asham.
Right.
So we all know. It goes to Raya, since it goes to Raya, what happens afterwards? It gets a mum, you take the money and you put it into that shofar of the Elim. And the same thing, the kvasim. What's the difference between the elim and the kvasim? Which asham you're bringing? You're normally carbon asham. Exactly. Normal carbon asham is the ayil.
Gizela, shefcha charufa, me'ila, asham talui.
Right.
And the nazir mitzora are our keves, our yes, a year and less.
Exactly. So if I was a nazir mitzora chas v'shalom, and I set aside money for that carbon asham, and now there's extra money.
Or got too old. It aged out.
Or it ran away, right. Because we asham, as you said before, kol bechatas meisa hil bilaraya. So I lost my asham. I set aside a new one. I got it back. Again, I wait until it gets a mum, and I take the money. We put it into the kvasim pushka, and the seirim. As is Rashi talking about the seirei chatas shel tzibur shel regalim, which you asked about before.
Yes,
that's
right.
That every single regal we always bought. Either seir izim echad chatas or seir chatas echad. What do you do with that seir chatas if it gets lost? And now a new one was found. What do you do with the old guy?
So when yachid, it's in the misa.
Exactly, because it's a chatas.
Right, but it's in the tibur.
What are you going to do with it instead? You're going to go and let nitik l'raya, and then you take the money and you put the money inside the pashuk. Good. V'ham moisoris. Now, isn't everything moisoris? So Rashi says, if you look at the Rashi Moisaris, going Misha Hikrev Echad Mikol Elu, the Hifish Mois Lashem Kaf, Mahuzl Behemoth, then he toys Ram Mois, it's a Shaver Chamishi. Like we said before, if you have extra money, a discount. All the others were talking about that they were never, that they were lost, and therefore you took a new one, and now you found the old one, and then you wait until it gets a mum, and then you take the money and you put in the pushka. Right. They were talking about that there was a discount initially, that's how you had the Moisaris. And then Baham Mo'ah. What means a ma'ah? Says Rashi, we learned in Masechta Shkalim that if a person brought his machtas shekel, he always had to have be'achroah. Achroah means it had to be, if you put it on the scale, it had to outweigh the machtas shekel weight on the other side to make sure that you gave not only a machtas shekel, but a machtas shekel plus a bisula. And it says over there in Masechta Shkalim, what happens if two people decide they want to go and save a little money? We're going to go and donate together. Yankel and Beryl get together and they give a full shekel. And they take the gizbar, half of the shekel is for Yankel, half for Beryl. And with this, they're hoping to go and save the extra hachro ois. So Zimor, they should go and add a kulbayt. Kulbayt is a small little additional, like an additional penny or whatever.
Not a pruto.
I'm sorry? Not a pruto. It's called a kulbayt. That's the kulbayt is the name for the hachro.
It's a bit additional.
It actually says it's a mo'oktana, a very small ma. So what do you do with that? That's why this pushka is called the ma'a. So you put all of those kulbainois into the ma'a pushka. So if you add all of these together, you add six. Parim, Elim, Kvasim is three. Seirim is four. Moisris is five. Ma'a is six. Fine. So Baruch Hashem, we had now four separate pshatim. The Gemara goes through them all again. Kula kechizki lo amri. Why don't they learn like cheskiot that you have the six kenega, the shisha, bate, avois? Lentzui vecheshinen. Bechol chad v'chad yoyim ka'avid. There's not going to be this type of jealousy that you're thinking, oh, you got more oidus, and I got less oidus. Mister, you had Sunday, he has Monday, he has Tuesday. Maybe next time you'll work in half a year from now, you'll have a Monday instead of Sunday, right. Sunday instead of Monday.
Look at the draw.
Exactly, so they're not going to be machlek. They realize it's all min ha-shamayim. Fine. You're not talking about over here bread and butter. We're talking about over here coins. How much are they going to spoil coins put together? Because the Iri said it's going according to Rebbe, and that's why there weren't three pushkas, there were six. Because if a person was menader a cotton baby, God also Rebbe loyatsa, that you have separate one for the par and for the egel, etc. So we don't want to set this talk about like a yoch. Because the Iri le Amri, kichidole le mukmi. Kvar pada namli Amri, why Moises kulu nami Moises? All five of them are really all Moises. Here you're saying Moises in the sense that the animal ran away, and then you took another one, and then the old one you found, and now you have way to the Raya, and then you sold it. So that's also Moises. Moises means that it's ibigim limit. It's a remainder. It's an extra. So therefore, the same thing, just like the money, if I went into the store and I paid 400 instead of 500, that's extra. Here's also an extra behemoth. So they're all basically all Moises, and therefore they're interchangeable. So you wouldn't make six separate pushkas. You just make one large pushka for all the Moises. What about ma namalishkolam azla? When you have that additional kulba, you didn't make a separate pushka for that. You just included it in the taklin chadatin pushka, which was the first one of the seven. Remember taklin chadatin, the new shkolim. So you know you didn't just have machzis shekels; you had kulbainus there as well. The sanya lehechal kulbain zehoylech lishkolim divremeir. So therefore, they don't learn like Bar Pada because they're holding like Remeir that you put into the Shkolim Pushka, and they didn't have a separate Nedova Pushka. So these were those four separate views as to the six Pushkas. Tomorrow we're going to have further Shmuel and Reb Oishia. Stay tuned for new reasons why we had six Pushkas for Chayetz HaMizbech. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Zay Gevensh, Hatzlocha Rabo.
Thank you, Bill.
If you'd be so kind to look up your seven and a half years ago, the closing remarks.
I actually have to do for Hulin to see which shurim we have, which shurim we don't have. I have to look up which shurim for lunch.